Chapter 18. Drained. Gray light crept through a gap in the drapes, tracing thin veins of silver across the floor. In the hearth, the fire had died to a sullen glow, giving out only the meekest traces of heat. Dawn was blossoming on the horizon, and the frail day was beginning to fill the room, spreading its touch across the bed. Ed groaned at the intrusion, screwing his eyes up tight and nestling against the warm body next to him. He felt safe in the soft cradle of the mattress. For the first time that he could remember, he was comfortably at peace, and he did not want to do anything to break it. The new day would rob him and press him back into a reality where every hour brought more questions and doubts. Thoughts about Carmine and Babylon, alchemy and energy all tangled in his mind like dingy cobwebs. And, try as he might, he could not cling to the darkness. Gradually, slumber melted away, and his body began to voice a litany of need. Bruises ached and twinged as his muscles whined and cramped with weariness. His stomach grumbled and his throat felt dry and parched. At least the lingering ache of the chill had vanished, ebbing away like the wash of an ocean tide. His blood was still hot with the faint tingle of energy, and Ed felt a fresh flash of anger at what he had sacrificed. It could so easily have gone too far and taken all he had to offer. One healthy life? For what? A few more days or weeks? That was not equivalent exchange. Lifting his head, he looked at Roy, scrutinizing his features carefully for any sign of illness or fatigue. His face, always pale, had lost the gray tinge of exhaustion. Now his cheeks were flushed with warmth beneath the black fan of his lashes. At some point, he had thrown his leg over Ed's, pinning him neatly in place and keeping him close. Their bare chests were pressed together, and Ed could feel the slow, steady thud of Roy's heart against his ribs, pulsing a rhythm in sleepy harmony to his own as they breathed in unison. He should have felt vulnerable or embarrassed, like an intruder, but instead it felt as if he belonged, as though the curve of Roy's body had been made for him and him alone. His awareness of the man next to him was growing, tired nerves awakening, tingling as his heart began to beat faster. A sigh escaped him, and he frowned into the pillow. There were people in the world that would view this attraction as wrong, as one of the deepest, darkest kinds of sin. They would claim he was ill or unbalanced, traumatized by his youth to the point where he could no longer function normally. He knew that they were fucking bigots, too narrow-minded to accept that people could vary from their prefabricated idea of normality. Back then, 16, confused and horny as hell, he had felt like even more of a freak. Now he did not give a shit what they thought of him. It was none of their business who he took to bed, and it never would be. Silently, he gritted his teeth, feeling irritation grow into anger. The thing that pissed him off the most was that, if they knew, people would blame Roy for perverting his innocence. They would leer and whisper behind their hands. The rumors would be unstoppable as people questioned when it had begun. Had Ed been 16? 14? Had that been the whole reason Roy had taken him on in the first place? He could take it, whatever they said or implied or suggested. He could take it. Yeah, maybe he would want to hurt them, want to open their minds with a fist if necessary, but the risk was worth it. Except that it was not just him the rumors would be about. And Roy had so much more to lose. Was that why Roy always found a way to take a step back? to listen to logic and reason even if his body was screaming for release? Ed bit his lip, tipping his head down until his forehead rested on Roy's shoulder. Who was Roy protecting when he retreated and laughed it off as just some kind of game? Himself, his ambitions, or the young man still under his command? The last vestiges of peaceful sleep fading away. Ed knew the answer. There was more to all this than just living in the moment. For him, there were probably a couple more weeks, hardly any time for consequences. For Roy, there was the rest of his life, and Ed knew that. Even years down the line, someone might dig up the past and use it against him. One quick fling with a subordinate, and all of Roy's ambitions could be snatched away. How could he expect Roy to risk that for one small moment? How could he ever think that he would be worth such a price to anyone? How could he be so fucking selfish? Ed swallowed back the tight feeling in his throat, wishing he could find what it took to pull away, to get out of bed and protect Roy from making what could end up being a huge mistake. But he couldn't move. His body hurt at the thought of leaving this warm, safe place at Roy's side. Just a touch, he promised himself. Just one more minute and then he would go. Cautiously, half expecting a flinch of discomfort at the chill of his automail, he splayed both palms across Roy's torso, brushing against the smooth flesh. It was odd to think that he had known him for so long, wanted him for years, but Ed had never touched him as fully as this. Idly, he trailed his fingertips over the older man's chest, feeling the hard muscles beneath his skin. It was like an array he had never seen and had to learn by touch, following the lines of Roy's design, a blind man seeing the light. Downwards, inch by inch, and over the curve of Roy's hip before stroking a thumb across his lower back, splaying his hand to drink in the sensation of warm skin. Sleep-lax muscles tightened as Roy gave a quiet growl of pleasure and arched his spine, pressing himself closer until there was no space left between them. Ed groaned, closing his eyes and biting his lip to hold back the sound as the cradle of Roy's hips rubbed against his. God, he was weak, too weak to resist this when they were so close. Nervously, he licked his lips, feeling the sparks of heat in his belly pool and spread and grow. He was already painfully hard, his body throbbing as his need overtook everything else. With a shaky breath, Ed nuzzled into the curve of Roy's neck, pressing open-mouthed kisses to his skin as he trailed downward, his tongue darting out to taste as Roy's breathing stuttered, becoming quicker and less even. He had to stop. Ed knew that. He told himself over and over again to just move. But he was prisoner to his need. His hands shifted on their own, touching and charting their way down Roy's body, drawn south like metal to a magnet. As lightly as he could, Ed traced the line of the uniform waistband back around to the front, feeling goosebumps rise under his touch. He did not need his hands to tell that Roy was just as aroused as he was. He was pressed, hot and hard, against Ed's thigh, and Ed ran one finger up the fabric-covered length. He hesitated, breathless and flushed. Just a touch. Just one. He had to know what it felt like, and then he would pull away. Slowly, guiltily, he undid Roy's fly, dipping beneath the cloth and stroking over the warm, naked tip of his erection. Roy stirred, his hand skimming up Ed's bare side as his eyes fluttered open, his breath hitching, catching in his chest as Ed gently moved his hand up and down Roy's length, feeling every inch of smooth, hard skin as it pulsed in his palm. The touch of Roy's fingers lit fires as they went, blazing a trail up his arm and shoulder, whispering up the exposed column of his neck to cup his chin, before warm lips claimed his own, slow and tender. The kiss fed the heat, carving life down to this one moment where nothing else could matter. Tilting his head to the side, He tempted Roy in deeper, tracing the line of his lips with his tongue as the dark-haired man groaned and shifted, pressing his body against Ed's from shoulder to hip, moving in a drugged rhythm that Ed's body matched instinctively. They both tried to touch each other everywhere at once, shaking and desperate as the kiss deepened further, becoming something untamed. The coarse sound of a zip being undone rattled in Ed's ears as warm fingers stroked underneath his trousers, wiggling for more space in the tight confines before curving around him. Wildly, he tore his lips away, panting unintelligible words as he writhed, unable to think or move or do anything except desperately try not to fall apart. Ed could feel the flutter of Roy's breath as he buried his face in his neck, kissing and licking the tender skin as he moved his hand back and forth, making Ed choke on air that suddenly felt too hot to breathe. He pulled away, trying not to whimper at the sudden loss of Roy's hand on him, but he could not keep the distance. In a split second, he had bent his head, greedily trailing wet, eager kisses down his chest and stomach, frantic for the taste of him. Stroking his palms down Roy's sides to hold his hips, he nudged the blue trousers lower, freeing him completely from their confines. Hands caught in his hair, not quite pulling but holding him still, stopping him from bending to take that length in his mouth. A growl at the deprivation caught in his throat, ghosting his breath over Roy's erection, which twitched in longing response. Ed. Roy's voice was low and rough, pleading for one thing and begging for another in one syllable. Ed could see the sinews in his arms pulled tight, fighting against the urge to push him down. "Tell me to stop," Ed husked, licking his dry lips and closing his eyes against a fresh tide of need as Roy groaned in response, his hips arching even as he tried to hold himself firmly away from Ed's mouth. The loaded silence stretched between them, torturously tight. Roy was shaking now, his splayed fingers locked as he fought between logic and need. Ed couldn't speak again. If he did, then he would beg Roy to let him do this. Let him taste and have and take. He was selfish, yes, and he knew it. But he could not stop himself. Not when everything he wanted was right in front of him. Ed. Roy's voice was almost a sob, choked and hoarse in his throat. Ed. I. A knock on the door made them both jump, shattering apart the world where only the two of them existed. Reality washed back in an icy tide, and Ed closed his eyes in disbelief, still so full of want and need that it was painful. "Brigadier General Mustang?" Sally's voice was soft through the blank screen of the door, obviously not wanting to break apart the dawn-light peace that had Riders in its grasp. "Your men have arrived. I think they were too worried to wait any longer. It certainly looks like they've spent a sleepless night." A trace of amusement found itself into the older woman's voice. "There's plenty of hot water if you need a shower, and I can keep them from barging upstairs for a few more minutes." Roy cleared his throat, slowly untangling his fingers from Ed's hair as he spoke. "Thanks, Sally. Could you tell them I'll be there in 10 minutes?
"Of course."
Her footsteps moved away down the corridor as Ed slowly sat back on his heels, doing up his fly before running his hands through disheveled hair. He shifted his head, almost too embarrassed to meet Roy's gaze, as the older man pushed himself shakily to his feet and rearranged his clothing. "Ed, look at me." Roy's gaze was still dark and hot, and Ed felt his whole body shiver in another mute whine of desire. He clenched his jaw, determined not to let it show on his face, as Roy stumbled for something to say. Twice the man went to speak, but held it back, as though he could not find the right words to express that tangled knot of all they wanted and knew they could not have. Besides, their actions had spoken for them. Neither had pulled back. They both let themselves be swept away to a place where the consequences were meaningless. Agitated, Ed got up from the bed, searching around for his t-shirt and jacket. The blood-stained garments had been removed, and he found himself crossing his arms over his bare chest self-consciously, before he turned around and met Roy's gaze head on. "Would you have told me to stop?" he asked, unsure why it mattered so much to him. Roy looked away, reaching out to pick up his shirt. It hung limp from his hand as he slowly shook his head. "No." Slowly he moved closer, reaching out to brush a piece of Ed's hair back behind his ear. "I couldn't. I should have, but..." The unfinished sentence hung between them, heavy in the air that was laden with tension. Roy's thumb moved to trace over Ed's bottom lip, making the swollen flesh tingle. Finally, his shoulders slumped, defeated, and his hand fell away as he stepped back. When he spoke again, it was the old Roy, the one in command of all his emotions and everything around him. "I need to get downstairs. It took me ages to convince Hughes and Al not to come charging over last night." He moved towards the door, and Ed knew he was trying to draw a line, to force some kind of demarcation between in here and out there, where the real world was still waiting for them. "And Ed?" His voice softened. "Promise me you'll check in with the doctor here. I need to know you're going to be all right." And then he was gone, probably heading for one of the many bathrooms Riders had to offer. It was as if the last soft folds of the fantasy had vanished, replaced with all the sharp edges of Ed's life. He stood there, feeling lost and horribly vulnerable. The aches of his bruised body crept back in, dragging at his automail and making him feel twice his age. It was tempting to climb back into bed and try to reclaim those moments of peace, but he had a creeping feeling that it would not make any difference. It was not the warmth of the blankets and the softness of the pillows that had swept all his concerns away. Tearing his eyes away from the bed, Ed straightened his shoulders and marched towards the door, not bothering to close it behind him as he paced out into the corridor. He needed a shower and a shave. No doubt Al would be with Hughes and the others, and he could not face his brother like this, still half aroused and aching in so many ways. There would be enough questions as it was, and he needed to find the strength to face them. Guilt fluttered in his heart as he thought of his brother. It should have been the first thing he thought of when he regained consciousness, but Roy had pushed everything from his mind. Briefly, Ed considered skipping the shower to reassure Al, but he dismissed the idea. The spicy scent of Roy clung to his skin and hair, mixing with the fainter metallic tang of alchemy. He probably looked a complete wreck, and Al needed reassurance, not something else to worry about. The corridors of Riders were quiet and deserted at this time of day, filled with an austere, wealthy peace. Thick rugs muffled his footsteps as he walked, past closed doors and windows covered by heavy drapes. He had been here several times, but he still had to wander aimlessly down several corridors before he found one of the bathrooms, all gleaming marble and gilt metalwork. Water cascaded from the shower when he flicked the taps, and he locked the door before stripping out of his torn trousers and stepping under the spray. Tipping his head back, he untangled his braid and let the water wash over his face and into his mouth, surrounding him in the heat and steam. Between his legs, the heavy throb of his erection twitched for his attention, a solid weight against his stomach, and he barely hesitated before leaning back against the tiles. He wrapped his left hand around the tender flesh and began to stroke, gritting his teeth against the pleasure that was almost painful. It was too easy to imagine Roy's larger palm there, teasing with a sure touch. They had been so very close to giving in. If it hadn't been for Sal. Ed's back arched at the thought, his gasp loud in the tiled bathroom as he quickened his rhythm, imagining Roy on him, in him, filling him with long, controlled strokes that would become faster and more ragged as they both lost control. He panted hard as the heat in him grew, flaring along every nerve as he came with a muffled groan, hips twitching as the too brief moment of ecstasy ebbed away. The ache of need faded, but it was still an ember, ready to be rekindled with just a touch. Turning around, Ed cleaned himself off, still feeling far from satisfied. His legs were shaking, made weak-kneed by his release, and he leaned forward to press his forehead to the cold, clean tiles. Suddenly he choked, pain stabbing into his chest as the steamy air clogged in his throat, unbreathable. For a few thundering heartbeats, he couldn't even cough. Blood filled his mouth in a sharp flood as ice-cold fear swept every other emotion aside. His left hand slid on the slick tiles, and spots danced in front of his eyes as his lungs finally heaved, dragging in enough oxygen. Miserably, he spat, watching the crimson smatter his skin and swirl away down the drain. For a few days, there had been no hacking coughs, no fight to breathe, no sudden, rattling moment where there wasn't enough air for his body to cope. Now it was worse, and for the first time, he felt that he could believe the doctor's dire prediction. After all he had been through and all that he had survived, this could be what killed him. Before, he had been able to control it, to push it aside and ignore it. But now it was beyond that. It was a predator waiting to pounce. Would everything just give up one day? Would he be carrying on one second and gone the next? Killed because his heart finally gave up, or his lungs were just too shredded to take one more breath? Hastily, he took a mouth of water, swilling away the copper tang that coated his tongue and spitting it out, wishing it was as easy to get rid of the creeping fear. Giving in to that was the last straw, and he knew it. Perhaps he could not deny what was happening anymore, but that did not mean he could just give up. Grabbing the shampoo, he lathered his hair, rinsing the suds away and soaping his body as his mind went in circles. With a frustrated sigh, he stepped out of the shower and slung a towel around his waist. A large mirror was covered in a thick coating of steam, turning his reflection hazy. Wiping away the condensation, he pulled a face at the dark shadows under his eyes. It looked like he had not slept properly in days, which, he realized, was about right. With a faint frown, he grabbed a spare razor and some foam that someone had left out. He could go a few days without shaving, but if he left it too long, then even he could not deny how much he looked like his father. That, at least, was something he could prevent. He tried to stop the torturous rattle of his breathing as he worked, but every few seconds his breath caught and a cough hitched in his throat. The only color in his face was the dazzling gold of his eyes and two flags of red on his cheekbones. Even his hair had been turned heavy bronze by the water. And with an irritated sigh, he put the razor aside and clapped his hands together to dry it. "Stop!" Ed slumped to his knees, shutting his eyes tight as he clutched at the sink, white-knuckled and trembling. When he dared a peek through his lashes, the room was spinning drunkenly, and he barely managed to stagger to the toilet before he retched. There was nothing but bloody saliva, and his stomach contracted painfully as the dry heaves continued. He was not sure how long he stayed there, but the water had evaporated from his skin when he finally managed to open his eyes and lift his pounding head. His hair, dry at least, stuck to his sweaty forehead as the room steadied and fell still. Had the previous night really taken that much out of him? There had been times when his alchemy had been painful to use, but that was if the array was complex. This should have been simple. It was just a change of state. Ed staggered upright, grimacing as he managed to pull himself together. Roy had said that he had almost died, that he had been hypothermic, and Ed knew that it was because he had used more energy than he could repay. He just had not realized how close to the brink he had been. "What's going on?" Ed asked the empty bathroom, his voice cracked and sore. All around him the tiles shone, blank and uninformative. The silence stretched on, punctuated only by the awful rasp of his own breathing. Questions clamored in his mind, blotting out everything with the thick clouds of confusion. "What's happening to me?"
"Not enough energy."
Kaleo's voice was a weary whisper in his mind, and he was reminded of the young king, a bleeding, broken doll on the dais. He may have been 1,000 years older than Ed would ever become, but he was still just a child, and the pain and fear in those words was heartbreaking. "Not enough for alchemy?" Ed asked through stiff lips, slumping against the sink, palms pressed against porcelain as he tried to understand. There was a moment of hesitation. The tight silence unwound, filling his brain with emptiness. Distantly, he was aware of the drip of the tap and the brush of the air against his skin, but forcefully he focused on the image of Kaleo's face, intent on summoning the voice back. Briefly, the air was perfumed with jasmine, beautifully sweet, and the words finally reached him.
"Not enough to live."
A flash of light in the mirror caught his eye, and Ed stared as the array on his torso was picked out in a weak glow. Across his chest, shadows appeared, dark clots of nothing over his lungs that crept up on his heart, rippling over his ribs and swelling with every breath. They surrounded the glimmering array on all sides, an ocean around a candle flame, poised to snuff it out. Ed raised his hand, pressing numb fingers to the point of heat that fluttered, a caged bird under his skin. Like a pet, it flared at his touch, too weak for anything but some strange recognition. He almost asked who Kaleo meant, who was dying, him or the light. In the end, it did not matter. Their existences were interlinked, relying wholly on one another for support. Whichever one of them died first, Ed had no doubt the other would follow not long after. Carmine had said that, without the light from the gate, he would have been gone by now. At the time, he had not believed her. It was just another lie, another little mind game. Now he was not so sure. After he had brought Hughes back, the cough had lessened, fading away as the strength of his alchemy and the light inside him grew and changed. Now, drained of almost everything, his symptoms were worse, and the glow was almost gone. Roy had asked why Ed had been using people's energy at the station when he had not been performing any alchemy. What if all that power had been going into keeping him alive? It made a chilling kind of sense that the entity from the gate would expend energy on shoring up its weak, mortal host. Perhaps it had not cured him, but if it had been stopping the progression of whatever ate at his lungs, then Carmine was right. He looked down at his own hands, staring unseeingly at cool steel and warm flesh. Whatever happened, he had to find a source of energy before it was too late. Roy's trickle of power was already fading. He could feel it draining away like a fire dying out. When that was gone, what would he have left? Snatching up his leather trousers, he pulled them on, ignoring their tattered appearance as they slid snugly over his hips. He'd find the rest of his clothes and then get something to eat. It didn't matter if the thought of food turned his stomach. This wasn't about alchemical power anymore. This was about finding enough strength to keep himself going, to keep his heart beating and the light alive for as long as possible. It was about pushing the shadows back and buying himself a little more time. A knock on the door made him look up, and he opened it to reveal Al standing pale-faced on the threshold. His darker hair was tousled into unruly spikes that stuck up all over the place, and his clothes were rumpled, as if he had caught a few hours of sleep in them when he could. Clutched and crumpled in his right hand was a clean blue vest. "I saw what was left of your other one and borrowed this off of one of Sally's boys. He said you could keep it," Al murmured, holding it out. His gray eyes were intent on Ed's face, picking up all the little signs of stress and strain. Ed shrank back under his brother's scrutiny, taking the t-shirt and pulling it over his head so that he would not have to see the worry in Al's eyes. "What happened? All the Brigadier General would say is that you had followed a lead and found Carmine. He said it almost killed you." It was instinct that made him want to lie and brush Al off with a smile. For the first time in his life, he could understand why his mother had never told them the truth. He remembered her soft excuses and gentle reassurances. In the end, they had been futile, and Ed found himself almost hating her for those little lies. Now he could see that she had been protecting them. Except Al was not a little kid anymore, and the stubborn set of his jaw told Ed that he was not going to be satisfied with anything less than the truth. With a quick shake of his head, he stepped around Al, motioning for his brother to follow him as he began to speak. Carmine attacked one of Sally's boys, Tom. He died yesterday because of what she did. We needed to know for sure that it was her, that we weren't running around Central chasing shadows. I took on Tom's pain just before he died. It gave him enough time to explain what had happened and tell us what we needed to know. Using your alchemy? Al asked quietly, trotting down the stairs at his brother's side, the crystal shards from the chandelier crunching under his feet. What were you thinking? How did you even know it would work? The same way I know that the multi-circle arrays work. I just... do. He waved his hand irritably, hating the foggy explanation as much as Al did. The knowledge is just there. Ed gritted his teeth, trying to ignore the faint sting of his pride as he was forced to admit. But it was harder than I thought it would be. He shook his head, knowing that he deserved whatever scolding Al had in store. It had been a stupid thing to do, but at the time, Tom held the answers that they needed, and he almost had carried them to the grave. It exhausted me completely, and then Carmine showed up. Roy and Hughes stood in the hallway, deep in conversation. Roy was back in his uniform, looking as distant and unattainable as ever. His jaw was clenched in anger as he spoke to Mace, as if he could not believe what he was being told. And Ed let his eyes linger on him for a second. Hawkeye and Havoc stood a short distance away, looking around with uneasy curiosity at the devastation. It was a war zone in the most unlikely of places, and Ed barely spared the mess a glance before he turned away. "Is there anything going on that I should know about?" he asked quietly, ducking down the hallway towards the kitchen. 12 bodies turned up this morning, none of them far from here. Al's expressive face was twisted into a sad frown. Some of them were children and old people. They couldn't have defended themselves. None of them had a single mark on them. It was as if they just, he shrugged, died. Ed paused in the kitchen doorway, feeling sick as sticky guilt worked its way through him. If he had tried harder, if he had pushed a little further, he would have been able to break the shadow's control over Carmine. Instead, he had just forced her to drain her strength. It seemed pretty clear that, as soon as he had collapsed, she had fled, her mind bent on restoring some of her power. 12 people would not give her the same level of strength as the Station Massacre, but it would be enough to finish him and Kaleo off for good if she returned. "Something happened, didn't it?" Al said quietly, breaking into his thoughts. "When you ended up at the gate and brought Hughes back, something happened to you." He must have seen the surprise on Ed's face because he shrugged. "You're my brother. Do you really think I wouldn't notice that you're being weird? I mean, more weird than normal?" Ed pulled a face, relieved to see a grin flicker on Al's face. There had been little enough to smile at over the past few days, and he hated being the cause of his younger brother's distress. With a muted sigh of relief, he sat his weary body in one of the chairs and gradually explained about the gate and the two halves that had chosen hosts in him and Carmine. As he spoke, Al grabbed a frying pan, listening intently as he fried eggs and bacon. Every time he glanced at Ed, his expression was intense, and he knew that Al's sharp mind was coming up with the same questions that plagued him. "So, she had a head start?" he asked when Ed paused. "If what she said was true, and she's been strengthening the shadows for centuries, then it sounds like the bit of the gate in her is a lot stronger than the fragment in you, right?" Ed nodded hesitantly, realizing his brother had a point. The darkness in the gate had been powerful enough to overwhelm Carmine, whereas the glimmer of light had only had the strength to hide. "There's not a lot left of the woman she was. Last night I thought I could drown out that bit of the gate and push it out of her." He remembered the flood of color to her face and the scream of rage that had come from nowhere and everywhere at once. "I almost succeeded, but in the end it was stronger than me, and I'd used too much. If it wasn't for Roy..." He trailed off, not wanting to finish that sentence. He still struggled to admit to himself how close to death he had been. To admit it to Al was impossible. Besides, from the look on his little brother's face, he did not need to say a word. He already knew, and his broad shoulders slumped. Al did not say anything as he filled a plate with bacon and eggs, handing it to his brother and watching him eat. "And now you're barely strong enough to walk," he murmured, slumping into a chair. "If you try to use alchemy..." "I already did without thinking. I went to dry my hair and nearly passed out," Ed confessed quietly, spearing some egg on his fork with a scowl. It sounded ridiculous. After all he and Al had done, after all the miracles they had somehow managed to pull, he had been rendered incapable of even the simplest of tasks. At least non-alchemists did not know what they were missing. This felt like losing a limb. He should know. "You've been pushing yourself too hard," Al said, his voice fierce. "Ever since the doctor told you how ill you were, you've acted as if nothing's changed, as if you can still carry on as normal." "Would you rather I just gave up?" Ed asked quietly, hating the hurt that shone in Al's eyes. "The gate did this to me, and now it's not even there to bargain with. As far as I can tell, the part that hid in me has been the only thing that's kept me alive this long." Al clenched his fists on the tabletop, refusing to meet Ed's eyes as he spoke. "Only because it needs you. It's only doing it because, without you, it would have nowhere to hide." He got to his feet, pacing restlessly. He looked as confused as Ed felt. Every answer gave way to a dozen more questions, and still left them stuck in exactly the same place. "You're talking like you understand it, but it's just a parasite." Ed finished his breakfast, tapping his fork gently on the plate as he watched his brother. Sometimes he forgot that Al had ever lost his body. It was hard to remember when that expressive, youthful face and those eyes that could hide nothing from him had been gone. Once there had just been the impassive helmet. The only cue to Al's feelings had been in the inflection of his tinny voice. Now everything was written across his face. Doubt and fear over what was happening, pain over Ed's obviously weakened state, and the tiniest glimmer of hope that, somewhere amidst the mire of questions, there was the answer to a happy ending for everyone. "Does it matter why it's keeping me alive?" Ed asked, getting up and taking his plate to the sink. "I don't think it can leave, or it would have moved to a stronger host days ago." He turned around to face Al. "If it keeps me going a little bit longer, then we should be grateful." "And when it doesn't need you anymore?" Al whispered, staring blindly out the window that overlooked the sheltered cloister garden. "What then? Will it just vanish one day? Or will it be like what's in Carmine and take you over until there's nothing left? Until you're just like she is, with no mind of your own?" He glanced back at Ed, who could only shrug in response. At first, the light had just wanted a place to hide, somewhere to keep it safe from the shady clutches of its counterpart. Maybe that would never change. As it was, there was barely anything left of it. Perhaps, before, it had tried to build up the strength. But if it was looking for another puppet, then it had made a bad choice. His body was too high maintenance for it, too drained by ill health and his automail to be a reliable marionette. "Not a puppet. You are the only one who can put the pieces together. The only one who can be made to understand." It was not Kaleo's voice. This was something soft and ancient, heard and felt with every fiber of his being. It filled his head, pressing him down with an invisible hand. Once the words were spoken, it was as if they had always been there, sure, firm foundations of knowledge in his mind. Vaguely, Ed heard Al's cry of alarm as he slumped to the floor, pressing the heels of his palms to his eyes as his head exploded with pain. Chaotic images, a tangle of lines and color, scraped in front of his vision. Air hissed between his teeth as his lungs burned, suffused with the kind of heat that he couldn't escape. Slowly, the pictures began to take on a theme, becoming more like memories than a knot of incomprehensible knowledge. He saw the gate throwing itself together and being pulled apart, millennia passing in seconds. Babylon, dusty ruins in the heart of the desert, towered in his consciousness as jasmine filled the air. Darkness ran like tar down its streets, flowing into hollows and collecting in corners, stifling everything. Plants withered under its touch, insects and creatures that made the sand their home died, and with every life, the blackness deepened. The city changed. Sandstone became clean, painted houses, and the streets widened. Central sprawled through his mind, silent and still, already a victim to the seeping tide of night. The sun was gone, even though he knew it should have been shining, and nothing moved. It was not a ghost town, but a dead metropolis. There was no life here except for the churning malignancy of the shadows, and one lone woman walking the streets, an embodiment of the darkness. All it wants is strength. Life is irrelevant. It is hunger without satisfaction. As he watched, the city bucked, twisting and crumbling as the earth writhed. Lightning flickered, and the stagnant river rose to burst its banks, flowing unheeded through the empty alleyways. The air was thick with the tang of power. It filled every sense with its presence, sickeningly familiar. The plain of the gate had brimmed with the same energy, filled to bursting as it channeled it from one place to another. Now there was nowhere for it to go, and it saturated Amstris, tearing at the land and sea and sky without mercy. Something exploded in the darkness, a flash of light like a firework that did not die. It burned brighter and brighter, chasing back the shadows, spearing it apart with a dazzling shaft of brilliant white. Something changed, and where there had been nothing but storm-ravaged air, there was another place, and in it was the vague shape of a portal, unreal, but there all the same. The shadows faded as the light grew. They twisted around one another in a torrid battle until there was no supremacy. One fought the other in a constant war without victory or defeat, black and white merging to form something more pure than both. Silver, rich and molten, blossomed outwards, a glorious monochrome sunrise as both darkness and light vanished within its clutches. In a second it was gone, trapped behind the doors of that other place. The ravaged world fell quiet, no longer torn at by an energy it could not control. Balance. One must be equal to the other, or all will fail. One weakens and the other grows. Something must be done. Images vanished, snuffed out to leave nothing but a hollow, empty ringing in Ed's head and the oppressive blanket of darkness that seemed to smother him, turning him blind and deaf to everything else. Finally, a faint sensation trickled his mind. A warm, low hum of power. Something, not his body, but something else intrinsically tied to him, reached out, sensing energy like a flower turning towards the sun. The air, the ground, even the water in the river was full of the same ancient power he had used the night before, raw and unreliable. He could feel it uncoiling like smoke along his skin. It was tempting to reach out and clutch at it, to ride the wave until it crashed down around him. But he could never pay it back. Without the gate, there was no source of energy for his alchemy. There was nothing except the meager store his body already contained, fractionally fed by the glucose and protein of his breakfast. His mind remained dark, filled only with the steady beat of the earth and air. Eventually a light flared, and Ed felt his body thrill with fear as the familiar wash of human energy flooded over him. Al was like the sun, a burning column of power, dazzling as he knelt over Ed's half-conscious form, calling his name desperately. Other lights were moving closer as Al called out for help. He could sense the saw-edged touch of alchemy on some, while others were distant beacons of humanity. Even beyond the walls, he could sense the pull of the first commuters as they hurried through the streets. Something lunged from him, snatched at the energy with eager, grasping hands. Ed gasped, choking on nothing as he struggled to regain consciousness, to grab some kind of control. But the lights were already dimming. He heard Al's faint gasp as if it came from the other side of a very long tunnel. Nothing more than a suggestion of a whisper as something slumped on the floor nearby. Distantly, he heard footsteps stumble as the presence reached out to take more and more, touching every glimmering source of power within the four walls of riders. In a detached way, he could feel his body twisting on the floor, trying to escape the core of heat that grew with every passing second. He tried to wake up enough to clap his hands and put a stop to this, but his mind was covered in a thick haze that dragged him down, leaving him stranded on the brink of sleep, caught up in a nightmare that he could not break apart. All around him, the beacons of power dwindled away, fading to nothing more than a suggestion of a glow where, seconds ago, lives had been ablaze. Gritting his teeth, he forced himself into wakefulness, ignoring the shrill squeal of pain in his body as he clapped his hands together and pressed them to the floor. Something flickered, but his eyes were closed tight as his body shook, buffeted by the sudden rush of energy that was forcing its way into his core, feeding the light until it gleamed. Finally, it stopped, cutting off as suddenly as it had started, and Ed dared to open his eyes. Al lay not far away, deathly pale. His eyes were closed, and Ed choked back a desperate sound as he crawled towards him, reaching out blindly to feel for a pulse. He looked too much like Carmine's victims, too still and quiet, and Ed fought back panic as he groped uselessly for some sign of life. His breath caught in his throat and he froze, his muscles locked tight as he focused on the steady throb of a pulse beneath his fingertips. Al's skin was still warm and soft, and his heartbeat was weary, but there. Shakily, Ed brushed Al's hair back from his face, checking for injuries. When he found none, he pressed his hands together, intent on pushing Al's energy back where it belonged. The array was fixed firmly in his mind, but when he tried to activate it, the lines faded away, dead and useless. With a curse, Ed scrubbed his hands over his face, staring at his little brother's unconscious form. The burning in his chest was ebbing away, leaving a painful, blistered feeling in its path. And Ed grimaced as he realized the front of his shirt was stained dark with blood. Hesitantly, he lifted the fabric aside and gazed at the new array blazed on his torso. It was not much bigger than the previous one, but where there had been only one circle, there were now two side by side. The circumferences touched, creating a figure eight lying on its side. In each circle was one triad, one pointing up while the other pointed down. It did not take much to understand the simple mark representing infinity, and Ed closed his eyes in disbelief. The ancient presence in his mind had found a way to keep the stolen energy in him and stop it from flowing back to its originators. It was amplifying the power, echoing it back and forth to generate what was needed. It was a desperate compromise, giving him enough strength without costing any lives. But the array would not hold it back forever. How long would it last?
Long enough. They will all recover, and we have the strength we need.
Kaleo's voice was strong and firm, restored by the glut of stolen energy. He no longer sounded like a lost child, but something older and wiser, more certain than ever before. Thief, Ed spat, wishing he could lash out and physically punish something for what had happened, but the only person he could hurt was himself. Slumping back to the floor, he drew knees up to his chest, hunching his shoulders as he waited. If it was that easy, then why not do it before? Why not take a little bit at a time and keep it? You didn't have to hurt them.
It can only be done once, a last resort, just enough to do what needs to be done.
Which is? Ed demanded, his body tense as his anger seethed.
Rebuilding the gate.